Well, some things in life are desperately temporary. I haven't checked the news since I left home this morning. Do we still have a prime minister? Look like maybe again, we're about to find out prime ministers are temporary. We're spending two Sundays in part of Peter's first letter and then part of Peter's second letter to think together about growth in the Christian life. And this morning, the key contrast is between things that perish and things that don't. Peter wants us to think about the things that are desperately temporary, like prime ministers and England football managers. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, like flowers. So, here we go. This is a rant, I'm afraid. It's Valentine's Day this week. Flowers are a big deal. Interflora will sort you out, if you want that, with 12 red roses for only £69, plus £10 delivery. So, 79 quid all in. But they are luxury roses, apparently. Don't know what that means. You know, do they have extra sharp spikes on them, something? Now, I know this makes me a mean and horrible man, but doesn't 79 quid strike you as just a bit much for something dead and dying? If you were to bring an alien to planet Earth, would they think that we were all there going, I'll love you forever? Is that what they'd understand? Or would they perhaps understand this bunch of dead plants on the way to the compost heap that we were saying, we're breaking up soon? Is that what they say, maybe? Or even, you know, death and decay is all around us. Is that what we're saying? And it's not just flowers. If you look at verse 24, it's not just the flower. It is actually the whole plant, both grass and flowers. So Interflora, they do a different deal, which is so much better value that it really does make you wonder about the 79 quid one. So for £40 only, with free delivery, even though it's heavier than a bunch of flowers, 40 quid, they'll do you a whole rose plant. That's good, isn't it? It's got, in the picture, it's got nearly as many roses on it as the bunch of flowers. And you get a box of chocolates and you get some kind of toy. Okay, and they describe the toy, I wrote this down, as the cutest heart cuddly plush. Incredibly cute. So it's again, this is a separate rant, but it's a toy body part. Okay, with eyes and for some reason feet to say that you love them. Okay, but it is a plant, it's a whole plant. So it will keep growing roses for the one that you love. If she can manage to do what 98% of us can't, which is keep a houseplant alive in London. Flowers are glorious, says Peter. He's not like me. Okay, he loves a bunch of flowers. But plants and flowers, they wither and they fall. They are desperately temporary, just like us, says Peter. Peter, he's quoting from Isaiah on this page. This is the consistent view of the whole Bible about us. It is the tragedy that is built into all of us. Verse 24, all people are like grass. There's not actually much difference between us and a houseplant. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. It doesn't actually matter who you are, whether you're a scholar or an artist or a musician, whether you are a prince or a president, a billionaire investor or philanthropist. We've had an object lesson in that, haven't we, the last few weeks? As the Epstein files come out and powerful people wither and fall. But even without a scandal, death comes so soon and we just disappear. I've been allowed to read the draft of The History of All Souls that Jeremy Thomas is writing. He's here today, so we'll see whether I get this right. Did you know that there was a really respected previous rector of All Souls? Did you know that? So I'm not like the lightweight ones that we get nowadays, sort of properly respected one, nationally famous, socially impactful, someone who wrote a number of very important books and also preached against the motor car. Did you know that? And in particular, preached against driving to church on Sunday. How are we feeling? 11:30. Which it turns out, though, he was kind of right about, because he was killed on Baker Street on the 2nd of January 1920 by a motor car. His name is Francis Webster. He did my job here for 22 years, really very recently. And yet I would guess that even in this room, in this place, probably 95% of us have never heard that name before. And if you step outside of this room, go around the world, it would be effectively zero people anywhere who had ever heard of him. A human being is a flower, is a temporary blip in a world full of temporary things that perish. Peter's sorting the world into perishable and imperishable. And 1 verse 4, we have an inheritance waiting for us that can never perish. And then 1 verse 18, 1 verse 19, we have the blood of Jesus that bought us. And that is not one of the perishable things. Unlike, do you see what he chooses as a perishable thing? 1 verse 7, 1 verse 18, unlike gold, that famously perishable thing. That's what he chooses. Even though we all know that this relatively cheap ring on my finger could easily last for thousands of years longer than me. He says, compared to the blood of Jesus, compared to the inheritance waiting for us, this is like a flower compared to what God has. But the good news this morning in our verses is that there is something else in 1 Peter that is imperishable. And this is good news because it is us. I wonder, did you think I would say something else because of verse 23 or verse 25? The passage is saying it is us if we believe in Jesus Christ, imperishable in an everlasting sense, unlike poor old gold or silver. And that is all because of the kind of babies that we are. Now, I've got a lot of headings this morning. This is just your health warning. We're going to go quite quickly through them. So first of all, God's babies, they are imperishable. I think you heard, as Jenny read, that babies are the dominant illustration in this passage. So verse 23, born again, that is what happens to somebody when they, verse 22, they obey the truth, which is another way of saying, verse 25, that they hear the word preached to you and they respond to it in trust and in obedience. When you become a Christian, it's like a new birth. It is a new birth. So that, 2 verse 2, we are like newborn babies growing up in our salvation. Okay, so we're all babies, which is not helping me feel imperishable. Do you think that? Because babies are weak and they are fragile. But God's babies are imperishable because of what they are born of. So God's babies are imperishable because they are word babies. Verse number 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So that the seed that gave birth to you was the word of God, was the word that was preached to you, verse 25, was the truth that you obeyed. So you will live for as long as the seed that gave you birth. It's a bit like, there's a degree to which how old your parents are affects your own chances. The parents' genetics impacts how long we'll live for. I don't know how that plays out for you. There's at least a 40-year spread in that for me. So there's sort of mixed messages. But here in the passage, we have much, much better news. Here's the logic. Only the words of God endure forever. That's verse 24, verse 25. Unlike the flowers and the grass, the word of the Lord endures forever. Jesus says the same thing in Matthew 24. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So think of the most solid thing that you know. This building is 200 years old. England is 1,000 years old. The pyramids are 4,500 years old. Or maybe a mountain. So the mountain that was previously known as Snowdon is 450 million years old. Or how about our planet at 4.5 billion years old? Or how about the oldest star that you can see just with a pair of binoculars from Earth? They call it the Methuselah star, and it is 14 billion years old. So stand on a Welsh mountain, fixed onto planet Earth, looking into space at the Methuselah star, and then shout into the wind, "Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life." And those words that nobody heard but you, they are by far the most durable thing in that whole picture. We struggle to believe that because this physical world is so, you know, so physical, feels so durable, doesn't it? But the mountains are not confused. The mountains understand that if Jesus told them to jump in the sea, they would obey. And the stars that are every atom in them, held in place by the word of the Creator, by Jesus. So only the words of God endure forever, but you are a word baby. That is the seed that gave birth to you. It wasn't something that God chose to do. It wasn't something that, you know, just maybe works for a bit while he's paying attention. You are a life born out of the word of God. And because the word of God endures forever, you are therefore everlastingly indestructible. So you will endure forever. In all of our world, full of the fading and the falling, the way that really we are living, falling towards a grave the whole time, and where most of us will be forgotten forever, we are genuinely indestructible in what the Lord God has done for us in giving us birth through the word of God. So God's babies, they are imperishable because they are word babies. That's our first key fact. The second one is in verse 2, and it is that healthy babies grow. So let me read to you verse 2. We're to be like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And I wonder if we have confused the stage of life that we are in. In particular, I wonder if we have confused this Bible image that we're babies, all of us, craving and wanting to grow, with the experience that some of us sadly are more familiar with of being a middle-aged man. So it makes a big difference, doesn't it, whether you're a baby or a middle-aged man when it comes to talking about weight. I have here, does anyone remember one of these red books? And still have this was the baby book when Tom was born, and I have his permission to wave it in front of you now and show you what's in it. This book, full of lovely like things like when did they first smile and that sort of stuff. But then at the back, this was the page that dominates your life. This is the weight chart. From birth to 1 year old. And there are curves of how you're meant to be. And if you won't be able to see this very well unless the TVs are working particularly well, just there where I've got my finger are the 2 days when his weight went downwards rather than upwards. And, you know, nobody in the hospital at that point said, "Oh, well done. You know, your baby's on a bit of a diet. That's good, isn't it? People are a bit overweight nowadays." Nobody said that. It was a serious issue with a serious response. For those with ears to understand, it was 2 hourly feeds and everything that that means. It was panic stations because healthy babies grow. Whereas, and again, I'm not going to unlock this and get this out, but here on my phone, I have the NHS app, which can do a number of middle-aged man things for me. You know, and where some of my weight's measured, not just that, some I can give you, you know, far more detail than anyone would ever want, particularly on cholesterol. And in all of those measures, nobody says well done when they're going up. That's what I found. It's not a good year when you've put on weight. You know, if you've just about managed to stay still, then you can say well done. Have we confused whether we're a kind of middle-aged Christian or a baby Christian? That is not to take away the joy of increasing maturity. We're a church blessed with people at long stages in their life with the Lord Jesus, been following him for years, growth and maturity. But I think Peter is saying we are to maintain the attitude of the baby throughout our Christian life. And this whole idea of the sort of middle age plateau, where I will continue to feed on the beer gut, effectively, of what I was taught, what I knew about Jesus when I was younger, that doesn't appear anywhere in the Bible. The attitude of the baby at every stage in our Christian life. And the growth that we're talking about is a wonderful kind of growth. So it is a growth into the likeness of Christ. So if you look at verse 22, it talks about love. It says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other. There is a wonderful picture, a room full of people with a sincere love for each other. Except the verse doesn't say, you've got the love, so relax. It says, therefore, love one another deeply from the heart. Love because we are all babies is the link, I think. That is not actually a metaphor. Church is not like a family. We actually are brothers and sisters because we have all been born of this same seed. And like any normal family, there can be tension and quarrels, there can be problems, there can be difficulties. Since you love one another sincerely, of course you do, you're all word babies together, don't leave it there, love one another deeply. That's a key area of this growth. And you see how the knowledge, the idea, the word, that we're all babies together is deeply significant in whether I will persevere in loving people that I find difficult. Because we are, you do things for your family you wouldn't do for other people. We genuinely are family because of the birth that we've had. We're looking both this week and next week at passages that connect knowledge, information, into character and life. Word is a knowledge category, isn't it? The word that was preached to you. There are ideas there about Jesus that were given to us. But it's not to make our brains bigger. It's not to make us good at knowing things. It is so that we will behave like babies who really love their brothers and sisters. Or look at 2 verse 1. It's to produce a character that rids itself of all malice and all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy and slander of every kind. I think the images of as you, it's like, I don't understand toxins, but you know, as you put good food in and the toxins leave, it's that sort of picture that you're growing into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? The person who was like this, that's the baby we're growing up to be like. And again, I don't know with this book out, Tom is now 18. So you kind of think about the things that you want for your children. What do you want for the baby that is you? What would you like to turn into when you grow up? Wouldn't the image of the Lord Jesus Christ be a wonderful goal, target, progress to be working towards? To be like 2 verse 1, to be like 1 verse 22. So grow up into the likeness of Christ by consuming more of the milk that made them. Now, I don't know where, you know, how much Peter had degrees in maternity. I understand that there is a point when babies stop drinking milk and they go on to eating other food. Peter here is, I think, he sees us as like babies through our whole Christian life and says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. And the word spiritual there is translating the word logikon, which is very closely related to the word that's in verse 23, the word, the logos, that is the thing that is living and active, the thing that endures forever, the thing that's indestructible. So the principle here is that to grow, healthy babies grow, you need more of the thing that first gave you birth, more of the word of God. You're to crave for that. That's the indestructible thing. Crave for it and grow in it. It's a key principle in the Christian life. We, as human beings, we're constantly looking to move on to the next thing, the better thing. Key principle in the Christian life, the way you began is the way you go on. That's true when it comes to grace and forgiveness and the cross. Same with the milk diet. crave the milk that gave birth to you, grow up in it, go on in it. And verse 3 I love, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. This should not be a chore, should it? Again, anyone who's been through the experience of trying to get children to eat broccoli and, you know, move on from milk to, it's not like that. This is about the Lord Jesus and his love for us and his promise to make us indestructible and to free us from the miserable falling and fading thing of humanity. Healthy babies grow. Healthy babies grow. So, application of the whole thing. Third, crave God's word like screaming babies crave their milk. Now, the 9:30 congregation has an advantage over us at 11:30 in that there are far more babies at the 9:30. So we may not be able to demonstrate this in quite the same way. But the image he wants us to have of the kind of Christian with a healthy attitude to this, the Christian with their priorities in the right place, the Christian who has, you know, thought this through properly and has come to a settled position, the image he wants us to have is the baby that is red in the face and angry and going, "Wah!" That's partly just to see if there's any baby in the room that we can wake up. No, okay, hasn't worked. That's a shame. That's the image he wants us to have. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. That is why what we do here on a Sunday is so important, because it's based in hearing from God in his word. That's why it's so important. That's and I cannot tell you the privilege of speaking here with the sense of expectation that people are here to listen. People have been praying on the way here, praying about who they might speak to about the things that were here in the Bible, who they might help. It's a room full of, slightly weird picture, but midwives who are also babies, that we're here to help each other, nurse each other, feed on the word together. And the sense of, this is, you know, baby growth charts everywhere around the room. Francis Webster, let me tell you, he was not actually against the motor car. He was against the motor car on Sunday because it meant for the first time that people could go and do something more fun on a Sunday instead of coming here to hear the word of God. And I don't think he had that because, you know, he was very arrogant about the quality of his sermons. I think it's because he had a midwife's heart for the importance of milk. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of trying to distract a baby that is hungry while you're trying desperately waiting for the mother to come back. If you had that experience and you have, you know, 900 really fun toys all laid up in the room and you try one, it lasts for about a second, you try the other one, you're jiggling and you can't, all the stuff, and the baby just after about a second goes, "Wah!" And you're back to feed me. There is nothing more important. And yet, in 1900... Francis Webster found that lots of his congregation would often, now they had a car, get in their car and go and see a hill on a Sunday instead. And there's no more important measure of a healthy church than whether we are growing together here, growing in our maturity, growing in our Christ-likeness. Do you remember Morgan Spurlock? Remember Morgan Spurlock? He made the film Supersized, which I enjoyed watching. It's slightly disgusting. It's about fast food. He makes a sort of pledge that he will only eat fast food. I think it was only for a month. And that when they say, "Would you like to be supersized?" he always had to say yes and then eat it all. And you sort of watch him as it goes through what that does to him. Fast food is wonderful, isn't it? Tastes brilliant, tastes great, it's fun, it's easy, it's good, makes you feel good. But the trouble is, it's just not that full of food. That's the problem. You feel hungry again quite soon after. It's not very good at building bodies. You don't take a baby and, you know, bring them up on a diet of McDonald's, and more McDonald's. That's not good parenting. So again, like babies, craving the emphasis, the pure spiritual milk, craving for the word of God that will feed us. So, isn't Daily Bread wonderful? Have you enjoyed doing Daily Bread? I've been so encouraged, the number of people who are telling me that they're doing this. We're all trying to sort of read through the Bible over 4 or 5 years, reading a chapter a day. We've done bits of Genesis, bits of Matthew so far. One thing that struck me, I've added it to what I was doing already. So I'm still doing what I was doing already. And I've added it at the end of the day. And I've been amazed at how easily it fits into the day. I don't know if you found that. That you just read a chapter in the Bible, doesn't take very long at all. You think, why have I not been doing this for years? What was I doing with that time before? That was one more YouTube short or something, maybe two, if it's a long chapter. And yet, isn't it wonderful to be together as a church, reading those same chapters, talking about them together? Well, think about it in terms of where you invest your time and your effort. Here is a truth that middle-aged men know. It is more important to look after your health than your T-shirts. Okay, I think that switches as you go through life. As it happens, I do still wear some T-shirts that were school trip T-shirts in 1994, but they are full of holes and they are going in the bin very soon. It's more important to look after the more indestructible, more real parts of you. According to Peter, the indestructible bit of you is not the things that are glorious about you, that are like the flower that pops up. It is actually your nature as a Christian baby, born of the Word of God, growing in Him into Christ-likeness, in the love sincerely and deeply for brothers and sisters and the things in verse 1, such that we will be indestructible forever. And why are we such bad investors? Have you read about the gold price being up? Apparently, stuff happening in the world has got exciting and uncertain, so everyone's gone and bought gold. There were queues, apparently, at Hatton Garden. Everybody got Granny's necklace to go and sell at Hatton Garden while gold is expensive. If you believe Peter, God's words are indestructible and gold is temporary and perishable. God's words last longer than anything, even mountains and stars and planets. So, in terms of investing, I'm delighted. Very soon I'll be able to give you the name of the new discipleship minister that came out of the Grow appeal we had in the summer. That means we will be able to start a new Roots evening. We'll be able to provide more opportunity for people to grow. We're all of us babies, all of us who need help, like a baby. So babies, you know, they can't make their own dinner. They can't go shopping. We all need each other's help. But babies are not passive. That's the key illustration here. I'd love you to be talking about this over lunch, over the end of the service. We need more wah in our lives as Christians. Nothing is going to stop me from feeding in God's word, from growing as a Christian into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us as a church family. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us, that your word of promise has given us birth. Thank you that in all our weakness and smallness, you have turned us into indestructible creatures, transformation into the likeness of your Son. And Father, please keep us in the urgency, the desire of the screaming baby, that we would want to feed, we would want to grow. And thank you for the goodness of the Lord. Now that we have tasted the Lord is good and the goodness of his word, and we pray that in that we would grow up together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.